How are we going? 6 p.m./impact. We good? Doing well. I can't believe that we're at the 8th talk in like 6 days. I want to say like a special thank you to 5 p.m. people and 7 p.m. people who normally meet at those times every week for letting us share our joy with you. I love that this is a church that isn't just about, you know, one group goes off and does their ministry and then we celebrate on our own, that we can come and share with you, I guess, what God's been doing in our life. And I hope it's encouraging for you guys to hear the joy and the excitement all around Jesus in the younger people in this church's faith and in their walk. And I really appreciate that every year we're allowed this time. So thank you for letting us intrude a little bit on what is normally a normal church service. My aim for today is that it wouldn't matter if we're a camper or not a camper, if we're a 5 p.m.er or a 7 p.m.er, if we're a parent of a camper or just a guest to the church in general, that today God would speak to each and every single one of us, because the message that he has for us today is a message that applies to everyone. No matter if you've heard the last 7 talks or you haven't, this message is a message that we all need to hear and that God wants to impress on all of our hearts. So if you weren't at camp, I hope that today is as much a blessing for you as God has blessed us throughout this week. And let's pray that that will happen. Lord, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much that we've been able to spend a week thinking about your love and we still barely understand even a percent of your love for us, Lord. We thank you that we can explore who you are and grow in who you are. And we pray for every single one of us in this room, no matter the reason we're here, Lord, that you would speak to us and move us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As Matt said, we have had a hashtag for every single session that we've done just to help us remember. This one's confidence. Can everyone yell that back to me?
Confidence.
None of the parents yelled. Can everyone yell that back to me?
Confidence.
Thank you. The voice of the church together, isn't it good? Everything in life is better when you're confident. I don't know if people know this, but I'm actually can be really, really shy. In about year 10, I realized that people with confidence get everything in life. And so I made a decision from that point on, I'm going to pretend to be confident. At that age, like talking to a group of people scared me. And the idea of ever being on a platform was just something that made me want to vomit. Like speeches were hell for me in school. And so I just decided I'm going to pretend to be confident. And God took that and ran with it. And so I'm still pretending to this very day. But it makes life better. Like confidence helps in every situation, right? If you're going to ask someone out, like all the nitnoys seem to have done this week, it got real. If you're a parent of someone who's on junior site, just check in. They might have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Probably will. They probably had one, broke up with them, and got another one by now. Just check in. They might be heartbroken. So. I promise we didn't preach it. It was not on us. Anyway, confidence is everything, right? You don't want to go up to a girl and be like, hey, Hagen, I think you're pretty. You want confidence, right? Sup? We should date, hey. And then it's like, of course, I can't say no to that confidence, right? In sport, confidence is everything in sport. When you sit in an exam, you want to be confident. You want to go in there ready to answer those questions and not hesitate. Reading the Bible at church when there's names, you don't need biblical knowledge. You just need confidence, right? You just look at it, see how it looks like it sounds, and you just say that and no one will question you, right? It's the same with every argument. If you just say your point with confidence and strength, you can win the argument even if you have no idea what you're arguing about. Confidence just helps in absolutely every way. And John, who we've been hearing from this week, in the book of 1 John, we've been unpacking what John wants to teach us about his best friend, Jesus. The disciple whom Jesus most loved was John. And we learned from John this whole week, who had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, seen Jesus in ministry. He rested his head on Jesus' chest, heard his heartbeat, felt his breath. This man, John, was so close with Jesus. And he's sharing that relationship and that fellowship with us. And John has a heart for confidence. John is desperate that we would know confidence in God. As you read through the book of 1 John and you dig into it, it becomes abundantly clear that John is passionate about us being confident in what we have in God. John is absolutely passionate about assurance and confidence in our salvation. He wants us to know that we are saved. And he wants us to be sure that we are saved. And he wants us to live lives that are based on the fact that we are confident in what we have in Jesus. So confident that if anyone were to walk up to you and ask you, do you really believe that there is a God that loves you and that died for you? We can say, yes, of course I do. And if they say, do you really believe you're going to a place like heaven? We can say, yes, of course I believe. John is desperate for us to have confidence, so much so that in a book that's only 5 chapters long, John 10 times uses a sentence like this: this is how we know. This is how we know. Again and again and again, John wants to say to us, this is how we know that we're saved. This is how we know that we're going to be in heaven. I'll give you just a few examples. 1 John 2:3, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. 1 John 2:5-6, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. This one we're going to unpack a little bit more tonight. This one we're going to spend some time in. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he lives in us. He has given us his spirit. This is how we know, John says again and again and again and again, because he's desperate for us to be people who not just hear about salvation, but find confidence and strength and life in the salvation that is available through Christ Jesus our Lord by the power of his Holy Spirit. John is leading us to be in a place of confidence. And he says we can have that confidence because of the Holy Spirit. And we might not know that much about the Holy Spirit because we haven't really talked about it that much this week. And he's not someone that we talk about that often. And so as Jesus, who we've been learning about all week, as Jesus died and he rose again, he spoke to his disciples and he says, I'm going to leave you now and I'm going to ascend up into heaven. And it's actually better that I'm leaving. It is better that I am leaving because I'm going to send you one who is a counselor. Jesus says it is better that he is not still on earth here with us because he is sending the counselor, he is sending the Holy Spirit to us. Remember when John said to us that the one in us is greater than the one in the world? Well, the one in us is the counselor, is God the Holy Spirit living in us. Everyone who believes, everyone who trusts in Jesus has the Holy Spirit who is God in them. And if we want to understand what the role of the Holy Spirit is, 1 Corinthians 2 is a great place to go. It teaches us that every single time we're convinced or convicted of our sin, every time we feel called by God into an action, every time we feel led by God or taught by God in his Bible, every time that we're lifted up and encouraged by God, every time we're rebuked by God, every time we sing with our whole heart, and every time the word is preached and the word is received, that is the Holy Spirit at work in us. No one can know and love Jesus without the Holy Spirit at work in their heart. John wants to say to you, if you can say today, I love Jesus, then God is alive in your heart and the power of the one in you is greater than the power of the one in the world. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. So we get to 1 John chapter 4 verses 13 to 15 and John starts to work towards our confidence in God and our confidence in salvation. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. This is how we know we have the Holy Spirit, remembering that that last passage says if we have the Holy Spirit, then we can know that we're saved. This is how we know that we live in him and he, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. He has given us of his Spirit and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son. We know that we have the Holy Spirit. We know we have salvation if we have the faith to say that Jesus is the Son of God and that the Father has sent Jesus. If we have the faith to proclaim that Jesus is God and that Jesus is at work in our lives, then we know we have the Holy Spirit if we have that faith. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them. If we can have the faith to proclaim that Jesus is God, then the Holy Spirit is at work in us. So the first measure that John gives us to know if we have this Spirit, to know if we have salvation, to know if we can have confidence, the first measure is faith. But John has another measure towards us to know if we have the Spirit, to know if we have this confidence. God is love, 1 John 4:13 says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Whoever loves has the Holy Spirit in them. We learned this week that God is love, that Jesus is the literal personification of love. He is walking, talking, breathing, living love. And if we're going to say we love Jesus, then we must love others. If we love like Jesus loved, then the Holy Spirit works in us. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. We are given two ways to know if the Spirit lives in us, two ways to know if we can have confidence before God on the day of judgment that is coming: our faith and our love. If we love like Jesus loved us, and if we have faith to say that Jesus is God. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't actually fill me with that much confidence. So we need to live a life of love. I fall so short of that so constantly. We need to have a life of faith. Well, like, my faith stumbles and falls and I struggle with doubt. My faith isn't that strong. My faith isn't that good. And so then with the Holy Spirit as a measure, can I really have confidence before God? Can I really have confidence knowing that one day Jesus will come and judge the world? Do I have the faith to testify every single day of my life? Do I live out a life of love every single day of my life? Can I really have confidence? And the challenge to our confidence comes when the bar and the measure is set at having faith and having love like God. Our confidence is shaken because at times our faith is non-existent. At times we look more like hate than we do like love. And God says, this is the bar, our confidence is shaken. And as I prepared for the whole last week, I sat under a lot of teaching from a lot of different people and learned as much as I could. And I was really, really blessed to sit under some amazing teaching that revealed some things to me that I've never seen in God's Word before. And we've been studying the book 1 John, which is a letter from John to a struggling church. And it's incredibly similar to a book written by a man named Paul called 1 Thessalonians, written to the people in Thessalonica. So you just say it with confidence, I can't. Anyway. Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, and they're both writing to churches to help them grow in their relationship with God, to help them through hard times. Paul's writing to quite a young church, quite a church that's struggling to learn the ropes. They're struggling to learn how to live out this faith. Yet they share one aim, as Paul writes to Thessalonians, as John writes to his church in Ephesus. They have the one aim, that their people would have confidence to know who God is and confidence to know that they will have the assurance on the day that Jesus comes to judge. Paul preached to this town. Paul was there as people became Christian. And Paul wants to ask the question, well, I saw them give their life to Jesus. It was just like for us last night. We saw 50 people to respond to the love and the faith of God in our lives. And Paul had that happen to him. Yeah, amen. Praise God for that. Paul saw people become Christian, and he wants to ask the question, how do I know if it's genuine? How do I know if their faith is real? How do I know if their love is real? How do I know if the Spirit is alive in them, if they can have confidence? So we pick up at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, and if you're looking through your Bible, keep a little finger in 1 John, because we're going to go back and forth a fair bit. 1 Thessalonians 1 from verse 3 to verse 7. We remember before our God, this is Paul talking to the church that he preached at and saw people become Christians at. We remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith. They had work produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. So automatically we see the first two measures. There is faith in this church and there is love in this church, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Paul seems to be so filled with confidence as he goes on, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, the third measure, and deep conviction. You know we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You also became a model to all believers. Paul writes to these people and he's questioning if he can have confidence in their salvation, and he remembers he can because they have faith and because they have love and because the Holy Spirit is at work in them and moving through them. How was Paul so sure? Well, they received the word with joy. They became an example. They had faith. They had joy. They had love even through suffering. The work of their love like Jesus was bearing fruit, and in their love and in their faith, just as John asked for, Paul has enough to be confident. To be sure that these people are chosen by God and have the Holy Spirit in them. And he's so clear about that. But as you jump to chapter 3, we start to get an encouragement. Because Paul didn't just say, okay, you have a bit of faith and you have a bit of love and the Holy Spirit's at work in you. Okay, you're good. Let's stop right there. We jump to chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So the very same people who he just says has faith and they can be assured and they can be confident, he says that very faith is lacking. It's not a perfect faith. It's not a full faith. It's not a faith that never falters or falls. It's not a faith that never doubts. This faith is lacking. And he goes on in verses 12 and 13, may the Lord make your love increase. May the Lord make your love increase. The love that they have isn't perfect. The love that they have isn't complete. The love that they have never falls accidentally into hate. May the love you have increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts that you'll be blameless and holy in his presence of our God and the Father when the Lord Jesus comes to his Holy One. See, it was the measures of love and faith that Paul used to say, yes, the Holy Spirit is at work in them. I can see the love. I can see the faith. But we need to know that Paul isn't saying that their love is perfect. Paul isn't saying that their faith is perfect. These people can have confidence even though there is weakness, even though they fall, even though they stumble. There is lacking and a need of increase in their love. There is lacking a need of strength in their faith. We need to know that they are not perfect in any way. There is faith, yet it's lacking. There is love, yet it needs to increase. There is obedience, yet it needs to be strengthened. Paul is assured, Paul is confident, and he is sure before God that they are saved, yet he is praying that they will grow. He's praying that they will increase. He's praying that they will strengthen, that they'll get closer and closer to God. And I feel like it's the Thessalonians that I can relate to. Yes, I have faith, but it breaks. And doubt enters my mind. Yes, I try to love, but so often my actions turn into hate and my heart produces hate. God, I try my best to love others, but sometimes they're hard to love and I'm selfish and I fail. God, I try my best to have faith in you all the time, but my faith is weak. And we say the prayer, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, it's so short, I believe, help my unbelief. God, I'm trying to be obedient, but sometimes I need more strength. And that's the exact situation of the people that Paul is writing to that have full confidence in their salvation. You don't need perfect faith. You don't need perfect love. You don't need to be perfectly blameless in order to have complete and full assurance. You don't need to be perfect to have confidence on the day when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. This was a prayer from Paul. We need to remember this was a prayer that Paul was praying that God would increase, that God would build up, that God would strengthen, that God would grow. And so what was his prayer answered? Well, weeks later, he'd written this letter and he'd probably received one back. And so he's written 2 Thessalonians, the second letter that he's written to these same people. Probably a few weeks or months later in 1 Thessalonians 3, we read this, "We ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightfully so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing." His prayer has been answered by God. These people whose salvation is sure, these people who can have confidence in the day of judgment, these people who have assurance, their faith is growing and their love is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you're suffering. All of this growth, all of this change, all of this development, not perfect faith, not perfect love, but growing faith and increasing love, all of this is evidence that they will be counted worthy. Their faith is growing. Their love is increasing. It's not perfect love. It's not perfect faith. It's not perfect obedience, but it's growth and it's improvement and it's a moving towards Jesus to be more like Jesus. This is people increasing in their friendship with Jesus. This is people increasing in their fellowship with Jesus. This is people moving closer and closer to Jesus. Their faith is increasing, their love is growing, and their strength is getting stronger and stronger by the day, but there is still no perfection. If you look at yourself and your relationship with God, and you see the need for improvement, you see the need for stronger faith, you see the need for more love, then don't think of that as a reason that you're not qualified, that you're not good enough, that you can't have confidence. If you think that because your faith is lacking a bit, because your love isn't as strong, that that's a reason to think you can't have confidence, then that's exactly what Satan will want you to think. That's exactly what evil will want you to think. Instead, if you're looking at yourself and thinking, I need to increase in my faith, if your desire is to grow in your love, to increase your intimacy and your friendship with Jesus, then that is a reason that you can have confidence, because you can only have that conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. If in your heart you're led towards growth in Jesus, you're led toward repentance when things go wrong, if your heart wants to keep coming back to Him, then you can have confidence, because that is the power of the Holy Spirit alive in you. As he said, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy. Can you hear that being said to you? As a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. There's no perfection, just people seeking to grow in God. This is all the evidence we need to have confidence on the day of judgment that is coming. God's Spirit is alive in us. God's Spirit is moving in us. Not perfection, but growth. Not perfection, but a building, strengthening relationship with God. It's not about never sinning. It's not about never doubting. It's not about never feeling the heartbreak of sin, but it's what we do with that. And if our heart does break because of our sin, then we know that we're being led back into God, and we know that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The question we don't ask ourselves is, do I love perfectly? But do I hate it when I fail? Does my heart desire to go back to God? The final bit we're going to read from 2 Thessalonians is 2:13. But we all, again, we're going to read this again. But we always ought to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. These people are saved by the sanctifying work. And that is just a really big theological word. That means that they're growing to be more and more like Jesus every day. It's not that they're perfect, but it's they're increasing. They're growing closer. Their relationship is getting deeper. Their friendship is getting stronger. Their love is growing. And it says that they are the first fruits. And we need to know that a fruit on a tree or a fruit on a vine is a part of that tree, is a part of that vine, that God is in them and they are in God, and God is in us and we are in God. So we can have confidence, not because of our perfection, not because of our love, but because of God's perfection and God's love. Let's bring it back to 1 John as we bring this home for camp in 2017. With our lack of faith, with all the times we don't love, with all the times we fall short, we know we are saved as we strive towards God. Not that we're perfect, not that we're wonderful, not that we love in perfection. We know we are saved as we strive towards God. Why? 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. It's not our love we rely on, but it's God's love we rely on. And this next three words is the words that change our heart and that change our mind and that can change our lives. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, God in them. Our God is love. Our love is not perfect, but God's love is. Our faith is not perfect, but God is perfectly faithful to us. So when we fall, when we struggle, when we sin, when we doubt and our faith is weak, when our love looks more like hate, when we walk away from God, we can still have confidence, because it's not about our love, it's about God's love. And God is love. And it's by that love that we can have confidence, knowing that one day Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. We don't stand by the measure of our own faith and by the measure of our own love, but we stand in God's grace, in His love, and in His faith, knowing that we are just growing closer and closer and closer to Him. It's by God's love that we can have confidence. We've been talking about love the whole week, and this last passage helps us to complete this picture. It says this, 1 John 4:17 to 18, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. For those who who do not know the love of God, there is punishment ahead. But we do not fear love because we know, we do not fear punishment because we know love. Because we know God is love and we know that we are saved in Him as we grow closer and closer to Him. We can have confidence in the face of punishment because we know we are saved in the love of God, in the love of Jesus. So no matter what we face, we have no fear. No matter what we face, we have confidence. Our assurance is not found in our perfection, but in our relationship growing and striving with a God whose love is perfect, with a God who is love. What does that mean for us? Well, confidence changes everything, right? Confidence means everything. It means as we go out to evangelize, we can go out to evangelize with confidence, knowing our salvation is sure and our platform and what we stand on is perfect and love and is going to last for all of eternity and protect us so we're safe to go out to others. Surely if we're confident in our salvation, then we're confident to encourage and build others up. Surely if we're confident in our salvation, then we're confident in our love for other people, to love sacrificially. Surely if we're confident in our salvation, then we're confident to go and repent before God without fear of condemnation, without fear of punishment, because we have perfect love that drives out fear. Surely if we have this confidence, we can be the light of God in a dark world. There is a day that's coming where Jesus will judge the living and the dead, and we can stand today and every single day for the rest of our life, no matter the temptation that will come, no matter the struggle that's before us, we can stand in confidence knowing that God is love and we need to grow towards Him and we can have faith in Him because of the Holy Spirit living in us. The voice of the evil one will accuse, saying, "You are not worthy. Are you really saved? Are you really good enough?" And we can turn around and say, "I'm not good enough. But I'm caught up with a God who is in very nature God." And we stand with confidence knowing that on the day of judgment, we will have no fear, not because of perfect faith, not because we never fail, not because of perfect love, but because God's Spirit lives in us and we're growing closer and closer to our God. Through my failure, God is drawing me nearer and nearer to God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is our promise that we stand on, that we might have confidence as we go out back into the world, as we struggle against temptation, as we struggle against sin, as we struggle against doubt, we can stand in the confidence of a God who is love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us enough. Lord, that you love us so much that you would die for us. And we thank you that you are the definition of love, that you are everything about love, that you can make us understand and know and feel loved. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus' sacrifice in our place. And we thank you that as we understand your love, we can stand in full confidence, knowing that you will judge us as worthy to be in your kingdom. Not because of perfect love, not because of perfect faith, but because of your perfect love and your perfect faith. Lord, we thank you for camp. We thank you for the lives that you've changed. And we just pray that you'd give us, each and every single person in this room, confidence to walk in your love day in, day out until you return and we are brought to glory with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.